think I've already preached that one. I wonder if I have the other one in here. Oh, there it is. That would have been bad. There's a reason I don't do this extemporaneously. I set aside our study of the Gospel of Mark for today because I want to focus our thinking today on Thanksgiving, or as some have come to call it, fall break. Now that little bit of editing of the name of our national holiday by some of our government employees illustrates the point I want you to think about today. Is Thursday going to be Thanksgiving or is it fall break? Some people have no one to thank, at least in their own minds, for all of the good things that they have in life. Some people consider Thanksgiving a time to get together with family and watch football games and enjoy all the good things of life, but never quite remember to thank anyone. And some people are deeply offended by the very word Thanksgiving and the idea that it conveys that we have someone to thank. Some people are thankful. The idea of Thanksgiving requires that there is someone to say thank you to, requires that there is someone to thank besides ourselves. We might occasionally say, well, I got myself to thank for that one, but nobody really does it. Well, thank me. I'm going to celebrate a holiday of thanks-taking. It doesn't work, does it? Thanks-keeping. I'm just going to keep mine. It's a relational word, isn't it? It assumes, the word itself assumes that there is someone to thank for something received. So that word itself is an offense to many in our world today. They recognize the implications. That's what they're upset about. They know what it means. And so some are on a campaign against the mention of Thanksgiving at all in the public life because the word means there's a God to thank. And they rightly see Thanksgiving as inherently religious, giving gratitude to our Creator. If there's a God to thank, then that means we ought to obey Him. That means that He provided for us. And so if the radical extreme of our culture gives in on the word thanksgiving, then they will be acknowledging the existence of a God to whom they owe everything, and they're not going to go there. And so the holiday is offensive to some. And we shouldn't be surprised that it is. Romans 1 says, Paul gives us that incredible description of the character of the lost heart. And right in the middle of all of it, in verse 21, he says this, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but their futile hearts, they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." The lost won't give thanks. It's characteristic. To do so would be to acknowledge God, and that's what they won't do. Some people recognize the implications of the word itself, and they rail against our holiday. They are still in the minority, and I guess we can be thankful for that on Thursday. There are a lot of other people who just don't think about it. They live their lives as though there's no one to thank. They're not mad about it. They just aren't thanking anybody. They think they worked for what they have, and they have more than somebody else because they're working harder, maybe. They think they were lucky. They earned it. They stumbled onto it. They found it. They were in the right place at the right time. But there's not somebody to thank. They're just not really thinking about it. Have you noticed that people will question the goodness of God when they don't get what they want, but they won't thank Him when they do get what they want? If they don't have what they want, well, God's not fair. God's not. Why does He do this? Why does He let this happen? But then what about all of these good things you haven't said thank you for? That's the nature of being at enmity with God. That's how lost people are. Now, for those who have been changed by the powerful working of God's grace, it's supposed to be different. And I hope it is different in your life. I hope it's very different from that, that you can demonstrate a heart of gratitude. But this morning, I want us to spend a little time thinking about just how different this issue of giving thanks is supposed to be for the Christian, for God's church, for you, if you're His child. And I want you to think not so much about the holiday on Thursday, but about the issue of giving thanks in general. If you're a Christian, you've been changed in the character of your heart so that now you're able to thank God. You're not under Romans 1 anymore. That's not characteristic of you. But then what is your responsibility where giving thanks is concerned? What is it supposed to be? To examine this issue, I want you to look with me at a very brief statement of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. I'm going to do something I don't normally do. It's just part of a sentence. You can read the surrounding stuff later. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the part of it that applies to what we're thinking about today. You may know the verse. If not, you can memorize it before the end of the sermon. It won't take long. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, this is one of several summary exhortations at the end of this book, 1 Thessalonians. There are 8 exhortations in this string at the end. I'm going to get them in real quick before we close the letter. This is the 3rd in the string. They're all reminders for the Christian, and they're all commands. Every verb in this string of 8 reminders for the Christian, every verb is an imperative verb, which means it's a command. Do it! That's an imperative verb. It's a command. And the 3rd thing that you're commanded to do in this long list, and the one that applies for today, is in everything, give thanks. Give thanks is in the imperative. That's the command. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. This brief sentence sets a standard by which believers may measure their lives. As a command, this verse is either obeyed or it's disobeyed. It's not something to know, it's something to do. Obviously, you have to know it to do it, but you haven't obeyed it until you do it. We either give thanks or we're refusing to obey God at this point of His Scripture. But what does it mean to do this? What will it look like if the people in the church obey this command and everything give thanks? Well, there are basically 2 aspects of this idea of giving thanks. They are to be grateful, and they are to express that gratitude. Be grateful and express that gratitude. It would be of no use for you to express gratitude that you did not feel or believe. That's not what this command is about. Giving thanks to God is not merely a polite obligation. Oh, thank you. Get a chia pet for Christmas. You say thank you. You know, it's what you do. But that's not what this is talking about. It's not a polite obligation. It's not where you tell God a little white lie when you're not thankful. You say, well, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's pretty. It's not something you say as a matter of course when God does something for you. Giving thanks requires that you actually be grateful. It requires genuine gratitude. If you say thank you to God when you're not grateful, 2 possibilities. You're a hypocrite, or you're trying, but it's not working. Right? Giving thanks requires that you actually be grateful. And then giving thanks requires that you express that gratitude somewhere. You're not keeping thanks, you're giving thanks. It's not enough that you feel it. Find a way to express it. A glad heart, a bright countenance, actually saying thank you for specific things in your prayer, expressing to other people how good God has been to you. There has to be something, or you're not giving thanks. So thanksgiving is gratitude to God that is expressed somehow. Now, you could have a problem with either one of those pieces, couldn't you? But it's much more common to have a problem with the being thankful one. Usually, our difficulty is not with expressing what's in our heart, is it? In fact, it just seems to come out all by itself sometimes, doesn't it? Most of the time, when we don't give thanks, it's just because we're not thankful. So if we can beat that first one, then learning to express it a little more effectively will be an easy thing in comparison. Our main issue is a failure to be thankful in the first place. And this is hard. What are you supposed to do when you're commanded to give thanks and you're not thankful? And you can't just lie about it. God's going to know. What do you do if you don't feel grateful? Recognize that that's the thing that has to be addressed. The fact that you don't feel grateful is the problem to attack. Saying thankful when you're not thank you when you're not thankful is not going to cut it. So to be obedient to this command, you've got to figure out a way to be thankful when you're not thankful. You've got to figure out how to change that in yourself. And to make this problem even more challenging, the verse says, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not so hard to be thankful for the raise that you got. You just got a raise. Of course you're thankful. It's not that hard to be thankful for a beautiful fall day. When the air is so great and it's what you wanted anyway and it's a day off besides, that's easy. It's not hard to be thankful for close friends or for comforts. But in everything, give thanks. Does this mean that if there's something in my life that I'm not thankful for, even one little thing that I have a lot of excuses for, does this mean that I'm disobedient to this command? Do you see how hard this is? Think of the worst situation in your life. Think of the most frustrating, most annoying, most aggravating thing that has happened to you in the last year. How do you become thankful for that? Can't obey it by just saying thank you when you're not. How do you fix what's in here? How's it even possible? How can anybody do that? I mean, you think of some of the things that might be on somebody's list in this room, or that might be on yours by next week. Death of a loved one, give thanks. The end of a major dream that you've held for years and it blows up in your face and there was nothing you could do. Give thanks. The loss of whatever you've managed to accumulate in life just gone. Or the drudgery of ongoing financial problems that haven't killed you yet but won't go away either, year after year, and it just never lets up. Give thanks. How about the constant aggravation of all those evil people that you know? Or maybe that one evil person that you know. How can you give thanks in everything? Well, unlike most of the commands in this string of eight here, this one comes with a little editorial comment, and it helps. It says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. On this issue, we need a reminder that we're not in this by ourselves. Because this is hard. If this depended on us, we would fail. But it doesn't just depend on us. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're not left to our own devices to try and live the Christian life. You don't just get the rule book and God say, I'll check in with you at the judgment. Here you go. See how you can do. This is God's will for you. You think He's got a vested interest in this? He's going to help you. You don't have to accomplish this thankfulness by yourself. God has a purpose for your life, and this is part of it. Man, when I was in college, everybody's looking for God's will. We had conferences about it. Nobody ever read this verse. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You'd think that would come up. Didn't. You're not in this alone. So you're going along through life and you suffer some major disappointment or you endure some suffering and anguish that you would never have wanted for yourself and that nobody else would want either. And people are saying, man, I'm glad that's not me. And you go, yeah, well. And yet, because of God's work in you, in Christ Jesus, you're able to look past this short-term earthly issue and realize that the God who has a will for your life knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what He's doing. And you remember, He knows what He's doing. And by faith, you come to have complete confidence that God will make this work for good, for your eternal existence. It's going to be better because of this trial. And then you can thank Him from the heart. When you know that, you can give thanks from the heart. In spite of how it feels and how it looks. When you're reminded that you're in Christ and that God has a will for you in Christ, you can put these problems in perspective, and that is the only way you'll ever give thanks in everything. But you can. And then you worship God in thankfulness and in awe of His greatness. A friend of mine told me a story. It's been some time ago. This one really stuck, though. This was a good story. He was a little boy. He was at his grandmother's house, and he wanted candy. Only he wasn't allowed to get the candy. But grandmother wasn't looking, and so he went into her pantry to find something to eat. And he's rummaging around. Now, grandmother cooked everything from scratch, so he wasn't finding much. You know, the flour didn't look very good. There's eggs in the refrigerator, but hard to sneak one, and they're just not that good that way. And then he found a bar of chocolate. And the best thing you could ever imagine, somebody had already had some of it. Had those little squares, you know, and somebody had broken some off. And so he thought, grandmother's not going to know if one more's gone. She's not going to remember how many are gone. And so he breaks him one off and gets him a big bite. Now, a lot of you figured this out because I see you smirking. It was that plain old cocoa stuff. Unsweetened chocolate. Have you had this stuff? Now, I'm going to help you out if you're a homeschooling mom and dad. We're having an experiment at our house tomorrow where everybody has to taste this cocoa. So you have an experiment tomorrow. Let all of the kids, dads, do it when dad can be home, portion it out. Unsweetened chocolate or cocoa powder. Give everybody a good taste. And then make a chocolate cake and invite the pastor over for a slice. And we can compare how much better the cake is than this particular ingredient is. Because that's what this guy figured out from this little rebellion he was doing at grandmother's house. He said when he got over the shock of that incredibly bitter, horrible taste in his mouth, he was in awe that his grandmother could take that and make something as wonderful as chocolate cake. That's what God is doing in your life when he puts in the bitter. Oh, you could just have flour and sugar, but it wouldn't be as good. God is making something of your life that is far better than if it was all just sweet stuff. And when you know him, and when you remember that his wisdom is perfect and that he has a will for you in Christ Jesus, then you can give thanks for the bitter, because you're looking past that short-term thing or what's in the pantry, and you see the recipe of eternity, and you know God is not going to get your life wrong. He knows what he's doing. And when he puts in some ingredient in your recipe that seems to sting right now, just recognize it's going to make heaven a whole lot sweeter. And he knows how to make it perfect for you. Get that in your mind. And you can give thanks in everything. When Paul wrote the words I'm about to read to you, he obviously knew this secret. It's from 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, for the word of truth, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. This is how Paul described his life. This is what living for God got him. Some of it was bitter. Think about some of the stuff on that list. Beatings, imprisonment, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, hunger, dishonor, evil reports about him, all kind of false accusations, poverty. He felt like he was dying all the time. This is the man who says, in everything give thanks. This is the man through whom God says to you, you can do this. You can give thanks in everything. It's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just a little bit before that, in the same book, he had already told the Corinthians why they could do this, why they could understand life this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 7 through 18. I'm going to read this whole thing. Tim read it last week, but it fits so well here. Second Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies, in our mortal flesh. Now, verse 12, he inserts a little sarcasm, because the Corinthians had rejected this kind of life. And so he says, so death works in us, but life in you. And then he goes back to being less sarcastic. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is why you can give thanks in all things. Momentary light affliction is working for you as one of God's children an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. God knows what He's doing with the recipe of your life. Paul certainly knew that God is able to blend it all together, bitter things with sweet things, and bring out a better result, and he could give thanks. And he could tell us to do it, commands us, God through him. When you can look at the eternal things, you can give thanks if you're a child of God. Thanksgiving is your intentional response to the goodness of God, his grace to you. Thanksgiving is your acknowledgement that God is wiser than you are, that all his purposes will be accomplished for your eternal good. Thanksgiving is your rejoicing in the fact that God knows what he's doing as he providentially directs your life for an eternal purpose, so that whatever bitter things you suffer in this life will make your eternity all the sweeter. Thanksgiving is your offering of love to your faithful Creator who will not fail to bring good things for you. It's your offering. It's given to God. And you can be thankful. You can express real gratitude to God from your heart. You can believe it and mean it. But it has to happen in here. And it doesn't happen by you giving yourself a pep talk saying, I need to be more thankful. I need to be more thankful. Anything that starts with you isn't going to go anywhere but you. And you already don't have it. You look at the greatness of God and at his wisdom to perfect you from here to eternity. And then you can be grateful. We're called to give thanks in everything. We're commanded to give thanks in everything, and we can. We can. Oh, you'll fight the same kind of battle I fought all week writing this sermon. This too? But you still can. When our minds are fixed on God's will for us in Jesus Christ, and we understand who this God is who redeemed us, we can give thanks. What a contrast, huh? On the one hand, you got people who get good things from God and absolutely refuse to thank him. They even try to ban the word. People who accuse God of evil if they stump their toe. They use his name to curse with. They won't thank him for all of the good things in life. But on the other hand, you've got believers who learn not only to thank God for all of the wonderful things that we have, but also to give thanks in everything because God is that great. And we know whatever he gives us will turn out for our good. It's going to have a payoff in eternity. It's worth the price now. Even this command to give thanks is for our good. You think about the power this will lend to your testimony. While they're railing against him and you're thankful in all things, think of the contentment and the confidence that must come to those who obey this command. This is what God has for you. If you're in Christ, you can live this way. Confident, content, genuinely grateful, and expressing that gratitude in your worship, in the way you live your life, in the way you do your work, in the way you relate to the other people that you know, expressing it in every way, always giving Him glory. Now, if you're not in Christ, that's the thing that's got to be fixed. You can never give thanks. You can never obey any command of Scripture until God changes your heart. You have to start with repentance. You believe the gospel. You come to Him in faith. We talked in Sunday school about grace being for people who are desperate, people who have figured out they can't fix it. They can't help themselves. There's no hope unless God intervenes. And if that's where you are, then you ask Him and He'll intervene. And then you too can give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ. In everything, give thanks. Bow with me again, please.